All right. This is Wednesday evening, 11/2/22. The title tonight is called Forgiven. All right. In the world system, as we well know, everything is geared toward killing, stealing, and destroying. I mean, it's everywhere you go. Jesus came, however, and equaled the playing field so we could overcome the evil one. And of course, the greatest thing there is love. Love never fails. That's what Jesus did. He came to earth, love incarnate, and equaled the playing field when we didn't have a chance. We absolutely didn't have a chance. I know they could walk up right under the old covenant, but they really didn't know anything about God's love. All they knew about was if you didn't do this, you know. So that's what Jesus did. That's what his message was as far as the gospel of the kingdom. It was about forgiveness. Okay, let's get into the scriptures here. 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This is huge. Finally put that renegade in his place. And then told us, all right, now you have the keys, now you have the power to go and do it. All right? When the idea of forgiveness comes into play, it opens the door to receive. You know, a lot of people, I feel like they are so beat up in life and they just carry guilt about everything. And to me, that's one of the greatest things Jesus ever did, is to get rid of that guilt. Isn't that what he meant when he said, your sins be forgiven you, rise up and walk? I think that's Satan's biggest tool against us, to make us feel like we're not worthy. We don't deserve it. But Jesus didn't feel that way. He ministered to the common folk. He tried to the Pharisees, but they just put him in his place and they didn't want anything to do with him because they were about killing, stealing, and destroying. I heard something today that was very disturbing. This young woman's talking about the true Jewish race, or so-called. I would think it's probably not the Torah they follow, but the Talmud. They decide, as far as people on earth, they have a council, and they just decide, they come together and they decide, you're canceled. I'm thinking, oh, really? Really? Now, these aren't Christians. And this is the way they're raised from little kids to believe. And you know, all the stuff we've heard about what we thought were and how is always pushed on us about, don't you dare say anything anti-Semitic. It's all a plot. And I don't know why I'm getting off on this subject, but it comes right back to even, they did not even receive their so-called Messiah. They still haven't. You know, really, they're the ones that are in the worst shape, and they're the ones that need the most pity and mercy from the Lord, that need forgiveness from the Lord. It just astounded me what this young woman was saying, and I thought, wow. Raised from generation to generation. Now, these are the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the bloodline families. They're Jews, the Khazarians. That's what this whole thing in Ukraine is about. Khazaria was Ukraine. Yeah. The Lord, he sent Jesus to forgive remission of sins, to forgive all things for all time. Okay. Acts 5:31. You talk about arrogant. To think you have the say to cancel someone's life. I'd say no. You don't have, no one has that say. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. What's so sad is Israel, as we know, they didn't receive him. I mean, the common people did, but for the most part, those that were in power did not. All right, let's look at right here, forgiveness in that context means freedom, pardon, and deliverance. You know, when you know that you're pardoned from anything that you ever did, and no matter what you do, you're pardoned, wouldn't that free you up to live life and enjoy life? Yeah. All right, I'm going to have several scriptures through here. Acts 13:38. Most of what we have known that we thought was true, we have found out is not. 13:38 says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." See, this is a big thing, because these people, they couldn't do anything unless once a year they had to have the priest sacrifice an animal for the forgiveness of their sins. They couldn't come to God. They didn't have access. All right, vines here, forgiveness. A dismissal or release. It denotes jubilee here to me. You know, a release. Right here, liberty, release, remission. It also suggests forgetting. When you come to the throne and you, the evil one's trying to condemn you, he's the accuser of the brethren, and he's trying to bring up your past and show you things you've done in the past to make you feel bad about yourself. Father, you go to, "Father, I'm so sorry." He said, "What are you talking about?" Our attitude should be that we are forgiven and we should act accordingly. Not like, "Well, I've just missed it so much and I'm just not doing enough." And you can't do enough. This is a free gift. You can't work your way there. You can't work enough. Believe me, I've tried. You can't try enough different things. It's a free gift. It's like somebody giving you a birthday gift. "Oh, no, I can't accept it. I have to go and work for that. Or I have to go and do all this stuff before I can be worthy enough to receive that." Is that what you do when somebody gives you a birthday gift? Now you go, "Oh, thank you." You know, he really did it all. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. In other words, he wants us to enjoy our life without the load of guilt and condemnation on our back, because Satan's sly. That's why I mentioned, I think it was last week, that I was feeling bad about something. And I've had this happen to me many times on this particular area where I felt bad as a mother, that I had done something I shouldn't have done. And I was just thinking about that, and I thought, I heard forgiven. That's what the Holy Spirit said, forgiven. As far as God is concerned, never happened. Forgiven and forgotten. You know, we as humans, a lot of times, we forgive, but we don't forget. "Well, when they did so and so, I thought you forgave them." Well, yeah, but God doesn't do that. He's the one that reigns on the righteous and the unrighteous equally. He sent his son to the righteous and the unrighteous. Okay, Matthew 9. We have to catch that sly serpent. Don't let it get any inroad. This is Matthew 9, starting with 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. This is huge. I think this is what keeps people from being healed. It's feeling like, well, I know God forgives, but he could never forgive me and what I've done. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it's easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Well, that same power has been passed down to us. Whoever sins you remit, they're remitted. Whoever sins you retain, they're retained. That's something that I do pretty frequently. Not enough, though, remitting people's sin. See, that's that burden on them that causes them to act the ungodly ways that they act. Somebody that's loaded down with guilt, all that mess, they're not going to act very good. But somebody that's free and forgiven and is forgotten, yeah. This man received a jubilee. He couldn't walk. Now he could. And on top of that, his sins were forgiven and forgotten. All right, keep going here. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. All right, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is, and that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Like, ew, ick. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them would love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. You know what peace means? Shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. In other words, you're okay, be on your way. You have gotten God's notice. I'm sure she didn't get much notice from anybody else. Maybe the wrong kind of notice. All right, Romans 4. Verse 7 and 8. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquity is forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Jesus took sin. He became sin. So that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Yeah, it's all through the Old Testament. Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. What's he talking about here? He's talking about not being ruled by what others think and what they think you ought to be doing. Isn't that what most organized religion is? You can't have church, you know, except it be on Saturday. If you have a Santa Claus, it's Satan. I mean, there's just all kinds of weird stuff out there that they've been pushing on the body of Christ. I know the first time we ever got a taste of it, we were in our early 20s. I've seen it tear up churches. They're still pushing that stuff on social media. Christians. And I'm not talking just any Christians. I'm talking one I know of is an apostle. And I know of another one that is a prophet. And they push this crap. So you think, what gives here? When I'm thinking about you're concentrating on that and you're wasting airtime on that whenever 8 million children disappear in the world every year, and that's what is the church you have your focus on, and these are people in the limelight. These aren't people that are right back in a corner. I'm thinking, wouldn't it be a lot better to go and say, okay, you know, the big picture here is Jesus forgave you of your sins. See, I don't understand that with all the serious things going on and all the things that really matter. And that's what's being brought forth? Makes me mad. Sorry. I don't understand these people. All right, James 5. Jesus didn't go and say change their doctrine. All right, James 5:15-16. Well, let's go to 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Has everything to do with healing. Receiving or not receiving. Okay, let's keep going. Got quite a few scriptures. 1 John 2, 12. I'm telling you, I can't help it. I just want to correct. That's just the way it is. It's just in me. I'm sorry. But the church needs a lot of correction. 1 John 2, 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. From little kids, as far as spiritual little kids, new believers from the get-go need to know you are forgiven of your sins. I mean, that's just, to me, the foundation right there. I think it would save a lot of hurt and harm. How come we seem to not be able to accept this? We say we do, but we act like it isn't so. We are not here today to learn how to train so we can overcome sin. We are here to learn to reign. Jesus already overcame sin for us. Now we're going to reign with Him. Romans 5. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, that all have sinned. Have you ever heard a Christian that says, oh, I'm just an old sorry sinner saved by grace? That shouldn't be even uttered out of your mouth. That's past tense. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the multitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the free gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of the one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of the one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. See, they're trying to put the law back on Christians that are free from it. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. How are you going to reign if you're just all beat up and condemned all the time? You're not going to do it. You're not going to be able to do it. It comes by knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, and whatever anybody says, whatever. You don't have to be ugly. You don't have to set them straight, just like, whatever, you know. You don't have to get in arguments with people, but it doesn't bring you down and trash you. Can you remember times in your Christian life that some older Christian said something to you and it just devastated you and dashed you down? Brought up under that old condemnation and all that junk? Yeah. So Jesus made a profound statement here. This is Luke 9:62. Big, because this is what condemnation causes us to do. This is Satan's trick. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So if Satan comes to you and he's talking to you and condemning you, what are you doing? You're looking back. As something's already been covered. Something's already been taken care of. It doesn't any longer exist. Therefore, you're no longer looking forward, because that terrain, you got to go forward. You got to look this way instead of this way. Oh, I wish I'd have done that. If I hadn't done this, or I hadn't done that, blah, 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 blah. If you get into that, the devil will keep you running all the time. What'd Paul say? I look towards the goal. What would make you look back? Satan. You have been released to move forward and reign in life. Satan would always have you looking back at where you missed it here and where you missed it there. His aim is to shipwreck you. I challenge you to challenge him. When he starts his guilt trip, tell him you will not be riding along with him this time. Don't allow your mind to start drifting into that position. Just say, forgiven, and give your eyes back on the goal. That was what Paul said. I remember after our son, I'd lay down to go to sleep. And all this guilt would come of things that I wished I had done something different. And the Lord said, do not think about anything like that concerning him. Think about the things that made you laugh about him. And you replace that thought with this thought. See, it's Satan's tactic to get you off course and to shipwreck you. The Lord doesn't want us acting that way. He doesn't want us being that way. He's already said, I already took every sin on myself. I became sin. So that you don't have to put up with that. All I want you to do is reign. All right, I think this is what 1 Corinthians 9:24. I believe that's where Paul, let me look at it. 9:24. No, it isn't, but we'll look at this one. This is good. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. Now Danny ran track. How far do you get if you're looking back and you're running? You get over there in the ditch. That's what happens. All right, Philippians 3. It's kind of like driving a car looking back. Not a good idea. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Here it is, this scripture. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul killed Christians and hauled them off to jail. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, we're supposed to be looking forward. Pressing on. This takes discipline. It takes discipline of the mind whenever that stuff comes at you to say, oh no, no, you must have the wrong person. I'm forgiven and it's forgotten, so shut up and get out of here. Yeah. All right, learning to not let the devil take control in your mind. See, this is the battlefield. He is subtle, but we must be always on guard to counter his narrative. You have no past. Remind him of that. Jesus gave us a clean slate so we could move forward. See, sheep are quadrupeds. Quadrupeds don't move backwards. They can only move forward. That's why you get that old goat out there and he will flat get them sheep up on that truck. I've seen it. He'll herd them right up there, that truck going to be slaughtered. They'll follow him right up there on that truck, an old nanny goat. All right. It is not a secret who he is. He is the accuser. Well, Jesus wiped our slate and the accuser has nothing on you. You just have to enforce that. Because, see, he still thinks he's in control. He's been doing his mess since Genesis 3, and so now he still thinks he's got the right to do what they do, just like we watch the deep state people doing their ugliness and their shenanigans and trying to do the same old thing over and over and over and over again. When we know the jig is up. We already know your games. That ain't working. Like another round of COVID. Here we go, like a lasso. Not going to happen. Everybody's awake on that. It isn't going to happen, but here they go trying it again. That's the way they do things, and they've done it so many times for so many years. Same old tactic. Their father's the devil. He taught them how to do it. All right. I'll encourage you to read these prayers. I'm going to read these to you. These are out of Ephesians. It tells you who you are. Ephesians 1:17 is where I'm going to start. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, say me, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let's keep going. Chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Isn't that what I just said? Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, or by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. I'm telling you. Now go over to 3:14. These are ones I read every day. In fact, I read it over all my partners. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. All right, we'll keep going here. There's a bunch of this all through the epistles. Colossians 9, 29. Not Colossians 9, it's 9, it's verse 9. Just a minute, let me find it. All right, this is Colossians 1, 9. Let me put that 1 there. I just forgot to put the 1. For this cause, we also, since today we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, you could go on with that because there's so much good through all these. Are you getting a picture here where we're seated? It's not down here so the devil can kick around. We're seated with him, right? Mentally, that's the key there. Mentally, we are seated with him. Colossians 2, 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein you also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, which hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance as it was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or respect of a holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath days. Don't let them take from you, anybody, what the word says about you and what you have, which are a shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. Okay? Colossians 3. Let me get a drink here, and this will be our last passage. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, or Christ sits on the right hand of God. This is where your victory is. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision. See, no law, no law. Barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You know what? Releasing people. Releasing people. That means you have to tell them, write letters, or whatever you have to do to be right, you know? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Hey, this is really who we are. This is really what we need to be, not divisive things, getting into divisive things with people and all that kind of stuff. At least don't argue with people. You know, the Lord's made us free, and we're going to remain free. And if people want to argue and do whatever, let them do it. They have to stand before God for what they do. But I'm telling you, if we'll stay that way and stay out of that fray and keep our minds on him, when that devil comes, you tell him to send him packing. Because we are seated with him in heavenly places, not physically, but spiritually. And we've got everything we need to succeed. If we concentrate on that instead of trying to make ourselves better, we can't make ourselves better. Out of everything I've said tonight, we have to realize only Jesus could have made us better. We can't do anything to make ourselves better. So we just might as well just enjoy as much as we can. Yeah.